You're listening to audio from Grace Community Church in Anger, North Carolina. More information about Grace Community Church can be found at graceccnc.org.
Good morning. We didn't get a check earlier, so you may have a tweak here or there in the ear. So bear with us as Anthony dials me in here. So I got introduced, so I'm not going to introduce myself. You can ask me a little bit more if you're not as familiar with me and Keisha as most of you are. So happy to take you through the long story, which for those of you who know me, that'll be settle in and buckle up, you know, on that one. I was going to start this message, and I actually have given it once before, and I was working through an introduction that used, you know, milestones in my life, some people in my life that were kind of moved me from the category that I was in to kind of a distinctly other category, and walk us through kind of some of those moments that were crucial in my life that helped me, that was going to help me tell the story to bring you up to speed as to why we're looking at this psalm today, specifically why it's on my mind and heart in a very fresh way. But last night, I had the dream. I don't think I've ever had this dream. And afterwards, I laid awake, not being able to shake the experience of the dream. And God was kind of using the events of that dream, kind of the position I was in, to walk me through something very important that I think can be a stand-in introduction versus those milestones and like I had mentioned a minute ago, the some of the people. Rather than that analogy, I want to use the analogy of being exposed and being clothed. That dream was, yes, I was on stage naked in front of people. And it was not a good dream. It was very, what's the word I'm looking for? Disturbing. That's a good word. Yes. Discombobulated. It was embarrassing. And you see me scanning the room because I'm looking for making sure that I don't see any chuckles and red cheeks to make sure that indeed I'm fully clothed this morning, that I'm not still in this dream. In fact, I was playing bass. And in the dream, when I was like, I realized it, I just started grabbing things, and for whatever reason, there was, you know how dreams are, all of a sudden I was in this big bulky coat, and I couldn't get the bass on, it was so bulky I couldn't play the bass, and then the chords were all messed up, and it just wasn't working, and it was a very disturbing end to the dream, and that's kind of another story, but I wanted to couch on this idea of being exposed and then being clothed. When we come into the world, we're naked. We're fully exposed to that doctor or that midwife or that person on the side of the road when you're on the way home from being at the hospital and you have the baby on the side of the road. There's a story that happened with staff member here at Grace some years ago. His wife had the baby on the side of the road. But immediately, what happens? They take a swaddling cloth and wrap that baby up and hand it to its mother. The baby went from being fully clothed in the womb, exposed. That baby doesn't like it. It's like, put me back in the womb. But he has to move on. But he's clothed. He's put in his mother's arm. She clothes him with her love. I remember a time I was exposed growing up. I couldn't have been 10. Something like this. I sat in church growing up in pews, and we had our pew. And in fact, there was a little mark, because I would sit up against the, you remember the pews are like this, and they've got the rail right here. There was a mark on the rail right there, because I would kind of, I was just restless, and I would do that. You could go back to that church today, and I could show you right where I sat. And I would just, you know, I was bored at times, restless. And one of the tricks, let's see, kids, close your ears. One of the tricks was I got up and went to the bathroom during the service. That was always a good excuse to get out from the whatever was going on in church when I was 10. But one day, I was in there, and there, it was one of those, remember the glass that you had the handle like this and push? And it was one of these windows in an old building. Well, I was looking out that window. It was winter. And in my home town there, behind the church are all these woods, and the trees were just stark. They don't have any leaves on them, and you could see through the woods, and everything on the ground is brown. And y'all, I'm 10 years old, and all of a sudden I feel exposed, and I have no clue what's going on. It was just strange. And I just started weeping. I'm 10 years old. I have no idea. But I felt exposed. And yet immediately there was some kind of beauty that God was expressing to me in my 10-year-old mind. I can look back and I can describe that now. But I couldn't quite put my finger on it. It was just one of these things, and I kind of got over it and went about my way. Fast forward, I'm at church camp growing up. Now I'm kind of past that age of accountability, if you will. You know, an older teen, a little bit more self-awareness. And we're around the lake on Friday night, and everybody's got a candle. It was the kind of the closing ceremony. And there's just something about that evening, about the lake, about the sky, hearing the songs. And again, just exposed before the Lord, and yet feeling wrapped in a comfort. At the same time, just what is this that's drawing me? Who is this that's drawing me? Why am I overcome? Fast forward. I was in a church with a friend in Mill Spring, North Carolina, Faith Baptist Church. And I have no idea what the preacher was preaching on, but I knew God had put his finger on my heart, and I was exposed again. And the preacher said, if God has spoken to your heart today, get up and come see me here at the end of the service. And I knew that if I didn't get out of my seat, that I was calling God a liar, because he had said, I'm talking to you, son. And I'm exposing you before me. And it was like this, it was a moment, but it's also a process. All I knew is this is something mighty, someone mighty, that if I didn't listen, I might just be in trouble. I had to go. And before I knew it, the preacher was down there with me, and the church was around. People had come up to pray around me. And he opened the Bible, Romans 10. He read from 9 to 13. And all I knew is I heard, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and he rose from the dead, you will be saved. I didn't know what I needed in the big scheme of things. I needed a lot. I was messed up. But I knew I needed saved that day. I was exposed before this great God of the universe, and he was teaching me about himself and his word. And I remember it's like he picked me by the nape of my neck, and he goes, "Look at you." And I saw myself exposed, and I'm like, this is terrible. And somehow, even as a teenager, again, I can look back and I can describe more fully what was going on. But somehow, he put the entire weight of my entire life's worth of sin on me at like 13, 14 years old. That was crushing. If I wasn't crushed enough already, then he said, "Now look at me." Whew. No words. Nothing but, "I'm done. How can I go forward from here? I'm dead. I knew right there I'm dead. Me exposed before him." But then he said, "Now look at Jesus." And again, from exposed to clothes. That was a special moment in my life. And I've been exposed in many various ways since then, and clothed again, exposed again, clothed again. And this word exposed, just and the thoughts coming from it as I'm laying there for a few hours this morning, it's just blowing up in my head. We come here every Sunday, and you hear we are expository in our preaching. Because expository means we are exposing the Word of God. Expository means you are coming before this exposed Word of God, and you are exposed once again before a holy and living God. Your heart is exposed. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, settle in and buckle up. You'll know, I pray you'll know, by the time we walk out of here today. And when we walk out of here, what I want you to walk out of here today with is that you love God more than you came in, than when you came in. That you want to worship him more as we leave than when we came in. Because as we walk out there, we're exposed. Psalm 19, we're going to look at Psalm 19 today, and it's going to show us very specific ways in how that we're exposed, and we don't even realize it. What if I was up there with no clothes, and I didn't even realize it? I'm looking at people, they're laughing, they're pointing, and I'm just looking around like, what's going on? That would be weird. Maybe unfortunate. Yeah. That'd be unfortunate. Okay. Move on. Squirrel. It'd be unfortunate, for sure. But that's our prayer this morning, is that we are exposed before this Word of God. So as we look at Psalm 19, I was going to bring you up to, like, why Psalm 19? Long story is there, but we'll cut right to the chase. Last year, just over a year ago, I was in Rwanda with a friend that God's developed a relationship between me and him over the last 6 years or so. And we've done a lot of hard things together. We've had a lot of fun together. We've been iron on iron together. And he invited me to go with him and a team to go see his daughter, who's a missionary there in Rwanda, at a youth camp. So we went and did that. And one morning, he and I would get up in the morning, we'd go walking or jogging a little bit. We would pray together before the morning got started around sunrise. And we were there for almost 2 weeks, and we were 2 weeks in. He goes, I'm a little tired. I'm not going to get up early in the morning. I said, cool. But something compelled me to go ahead and get up. And I put my earphones on, got my Bible, and I went out before I wanted to see the sunrise. Well, in Rwanda, you don't really see it come over the horizon because it's just kind of dusty, hazy. It's just always kind of hazy, right? So it's light, but after about, I don't know, 15, 20 degrees, then the sun kind of comes out from behind the haze. Well, that, by this point, it was there, and a particular song was on, and my mind was flooded with particular prayer focus, and I was in a particular place in the Word, and all of a sudden, I'm exposed, and I'm undone, and I'm broken. See, I've been dealing for many, many years. What does a call to ministry look like for me? And a few years ago, I was like, okay, I feel like I'm finally, you know, and specifically, you know, we're being prepared our whole life, but something changed a few years ago, and there was this heart that was just welling up within me, and it felt like I was in this category of being prepared for the next step. Well, that morning, a little over a year ago, it was like God picked me up by the nape of my neck and said, I am moving you from here in this category to over here in this category. And I went from prepared to called. That was the experience last year. And it wasn't unlike that original experience where he was drawing me as that young person, and then before him, he made it very clear as to what that draw was about. It was very much like that, being undone before this change in my life, being undone and being picked up after being exposed and clothed in something new. So that's what led to me starting at seminary in January. Fast forward to the summer, I took Theology 1 this summer and had to write a paper. They said, choose a topic out of the book, and there was a general revelation, the doctrine of general revelation. There's two types of revelation, general and specific, or natural and special. Psalm 19 is part of the study that I did in there in preparing for this paper, because it lays out nicely, and in the first six verses talks about God's general revelation to all mankind throughout all history and all places. The heavens proclaim the glory of the Lord. Everyone has seen it. Paul in Romans, there in 18 through 22, near the end of chapter 1, he says, no man has, or all are without excuse, because he's made it clear to them. But what have we done? We've seen it. We've been exposed to it. It's exposed to us. But we suppress that knowledge, almost like that. I had that experience that as that 10-year-old. It was there. I look back. I can't deny it was there. But I walked away and forgot about it. How many times have you opened the Word on Sunday morning and it's exposed your heart as it's exposed to you, and you felt clothed in the love and mercy and forgiveness of Christ, and then we walk out of there and forget about it. Man, we suppress knowledge all the time. It's in our nature. Well, like I said, I don't want to walk out of here today with you immediately forgetting, with me immediately forgetting. God's done something around us and in us that's to draw us to that praise and worship and honor of Him all the time. We can't get away from it. Psalm 19 says we can't get away from it. So we're going to look at this, that these two categories. Verses 1 through 6 speaks of general revelation. Everyone who is here today is exposed before this general revelation of God, His self-revelation to us about who He is. General revelation says, the doctrine of it says, God has made it clear that He is God. He is sovereign, and we owe our lives to Him. It says that we know that He's good. He's made all of these clear to all of humankind for all time and all places. No one has an excuse to not know that. But what general revelation does not do, and general revelation being like the creation around us, our conscience that's within us, it's good to point us to what I just said about God. We don't have excuse to not know who He is, not know that He is. But it's not enough, and will never get us to the special revelation in the last half of this psalm, where we learn about the redemptive work of Christ, where we learn about the history of the people of God, where we learn about how to become part of that people of God. So I really focused on that general revelation in my paper. And so you'll hear probably more on this first half than the second half today. But I did want to jump in from there and catch up here. So like I said, in this effort, I've considered this psalm and meditated over it, or on it. And I wanted to help us this morning walk in more humility before God and love Him more today than we did yesterday. So we're going to read Psalm 19. And instead of standing in honor of the Word of God, I want you to bow your hearts as I read in honor of the Word of God. And let every word sink in. King David says, "The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display His craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make Him known. They speak without a sound or a word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. The sun rises at one end of the heavens and follows its course to the other end. Nothing can hide from its heat." And I just realized maybe the ESV is on the screen, but I'm reading from the New Living Translation, so if it doesn't match, that's why. Verse 7, "The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true, each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They're sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey them. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. And let us all pray this last verse. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Well, I've already indicated we're going to talk about some categories today. We start with the two categories that I've already mentioned, general or natural revelation, and then the specific or special revelation to his people. There's another set of categories. It has three categories. Well, maybe four. We'll get to that. The first category, you know that you know that you know that you're saved. That's a good category to be in. Second category, you think that you know. You can point to evidence in your life, but there's a whisper in your ear that points to other evidences, and you struggle. You doubt, that's an okay place to be. Third category, you know that you're not saved. That's not a bad place to be. Don't stay there, though. Okay? So maybe a fourth one, you outright reject the gospel. You reject the heavens proclaiming the glory of God. You reject what you see around you, showing you that God exists, showing you that He's sovereign, showing you that you owe your life to Him. Suppressing that and say, I don't need any of that. I don't even believe it exists. I don't believe anything about it. It's hogwash. You're proud. And you're mocking. That's not a good category to be in. Okay, I said there was three, there's actually five. You think you're saved, but in fact are not. There is that category as well. Those who know that they're saved, that they're His. That's good. Sorry, I have the categories that I just explained. So the message of Psalm 19 speaks to all of these categories. Therefore, all of us here this morning, because I don't think I've left anybody out. Again, our prayer this morning is that we walk away from worshiping together in this place, finding that we love God more than when we walked in. And don't miss that couched inside that prayer is this one. If you, upon hearing the word this morning, realize that you're in any one of the five categories other than the first one, knowing that you know that you are God's child by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, then the prayer this morning is that you will be categorically changed today. We're looking at the Word of God. We want it to pierce our hearts. We want our hearts to be exposed before Him, regardless of which category you're in. But we're praying that we are changed from whichever one of these categories we're in, up towards the first one. So we're going to look at this general revelation in verses 1 through 4. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display His craftsmanship. They continue to speak day after day, night after night. They speak without a sound or word. That's what the New Living says. Other translations, it's like they, you know, make a sound without a sound. It's weird concept here. Basically, what it's saying is it's showing forth, but it's not in words like you're hearing me speak. But it is communication. Okay, we're not hearing the language that you're translating into ideas through words. There is a language, though, that's being spoken. And we need to tune our ears to it. We need to open our eyes and give this light that's out there an opportunity to hit our retina. And then that retina, sending nerve impulses through rods and cones and synapses and pathways to some kind of center in the brain that forms ideas. And those things can be broken down even further into, you know, molecules and matter and subatomic particles. It's endless. This natural revelation, this general revelation, gives us insight into how the world works. Let's not be proud thinking that we, since we know how, that we sit above it as if we made it, as if we can do anything to direct it, as if we're really in control. We're not. Their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. So if this communication coming in doesn't hit your eardrum or doesn't land on the retina, what's the only way that you can make that happen? And even then, I still hear, because sound is penetrating. The only way that I don't hear is if something's wrong in here and sound does not make it into the brain to be understood. That's a human body not working properly. But it doesn't preclude creation from speaking to someone who is hearing impaired. There are other senses. It doesn't preclude their conscience from convicting them that God has placed in every person. How can I not see if that light is always around me? The sun, no one can hide from its heat. Maybe I can try this. But you know what? That's active rebellion against this sound, against this light. So I'm going to go to a little philosophy here. I think that even if you cover your ears up, and even if there's some malformity that doesn't allow sound to turn into an idea in your brain, the sound is still there. Maybe we can't call it sound, but the sound waves are there. The compression of air molecules, forcing air molecules through the air, through that air to your ear, those are there. So I say, if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it, there is a sound. At least sound waves, right? We can't hide from this. Verse 6 says, the sun rises at one end of the heavens and follows its course to the end. Nothing can hide from its heat. When I gave this message in July, I went, amen. Do y'all remember that? This is a wonderfully cool morning. It's awesome out there, but do you remember when you woke up and you immediately started sweating just a few weeks ago, and you went out and the heat of the sun was like, I got to hide from this, but you couldn't. It penetrates. So, when's the last time you stopped and listened to or intently gazed at the skies? Okay, back to our categories. Do you know that you're His? Let this sight and sound further stir you more and more to Christ-like humility and to a full-orbed worship in spirit and truth of the Almighty God. Let the light in you shine to those around you, letting them know that this light in you is from above. Are you struggling to know? Are you uncertain of your salvation? From the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, Jesus says, look at the birds. They're fed. Look at the lilies. They're beautifully dressed. God cares for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow. Jesus says He will certainly take care of you. See, this is why we expose the Word of God. We're uncertain. We're faltering. We question. And here we have the words of Jesus recorded going, look at what's happening around you. The birds, they're eating. Aren't you worth more than that? The Word has exposed your uncertainty. You come feeling naked. Excuse me, naked. I showed my mountain roots there. Naked. That's how we say it. But Jesus clothes you in His Word. He clothes you in His assurance. Look, they're fed. And God loves you more than those. He clothes these flowers and they're thrown into the fire. He will clothe you. He says, don't think like the unbelievers who worry about all these things with no comfort. Your Heavenly Father knows your needs. Take comfort from Him. And this is where He tells us, where Jesus tells us, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. And He will give you everything you need. In category two, you know why this is possible? Because you are His. Know that this morning. Walk out of here in that assurance. How about the third one? Not saved. And know it. But like me, as that 10-year-old, in the bathroom, in my church, looking out the back window at this wintry, dead forest that had life just waiting to come back in it, into it, or where I was at camp around the lake. If you're in category three, but you're dealing with something that you can't quite put your finger on, inside your mind and heart, when you see the wonder of the skies, when you hear about a hurricane with torrential rain that comes over a place where it hasn't in 100+ years and just sits there and drenches the hills, and when you see the power of what water can do, houses floating down the hill, the land laid waste, and you just sit back and go, what is this? You can't quite put your finger on the power of creation. We walk around saying, yeah, it's 93 million miles to the sun. We talk about it like we can understand that we can actually get our minds wrapped around it. But 93 million miles away where Pumbaa say? I thought it was a giant ball of flaming gas. The sun, the hydrogen that is being fused into helium. Such power and radiance coming from that that when you walk outside, your skin can burn. If the ozone wasn't there, guess what? It would melt. Marvel at nature. Marvel at how this all is put together. Marvel at the fact that deep down inside, you know that it didn't just happen all by itself. If you're in category three and you're not able to quite put your finger on what's going on inside, praise the Lord that you're here. Because we can encourage you to go outside and look up. Verses 3 and 4 say, they speak without a sound or a word. Their voice is never heard, yet their message is gone throughout the earth. Their words to all the world. This says that God has given us a knowledge on the inside of himself. And again, enough to know that he's God, that he's good, and that we owe our life to him. This isn't enough to be saved, though. So make sure, make extra sure that you read the second half of this psalm, that you don't leave here today without knowing that it's the revelation of Jesus in the Holy Scriptures where salvation is found. Fourth category, where you're outright rejecting it, I can only plead with you not to suppress this knowledge of God in your heart. And I bid you all the best. You are to be pitied. For you're flying in the face of the righteous judge of the universe and of our souls. And to us all, as we reflect, let us never elevate the certainty and assurance of our belief over that of Christ himself and over the truth of Scripture. Those of us that know that we know that we know, pride is lurking right around the corner. And we think our knowledge is what it's all about. We're proud that we know. Let's stay humble. And the way we do that is coming to the truth of Scripture routinely. We need to come and always lay our lives out as an open book before God and be willing to let him get a hold of us again in unexpected ways. It took me going around the world to Kigali, Rwanda, by myself out there that morning, the hazy sun, using the will that God has given me, the little bit that I can do, and walked out there with the word, walked out there ready to lay myself bare before him. And he doesn't do power, you know, what I would say categorical change type things all the time with that. In fact, it's very rare. But having done that morning, it was a categorical change. Do I think I'm saved? But maybe not. Let's look at the second half of this psalm. And this can be a test for us. The instructions of the Lord are perfect. It says they revive the soul. So when I hear his teaching, his guidance, his direction, am I affected? Do I feel as if I've literally been brought from death to life? Am I revived? Revived. The word life is in there. Yes, I feel like that, then I've got assurance. No, when the word is exposed before you, you're not like affected, then pray that the Holy Spirit will open your eyes. Says the decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. So, when I see that he has the authority to lay down the law, do I sense my understanding about the world and about life? Do I sense it deepening? Am I able to discern things more accurately and wisely than before? Yes, will be helpful to the church and to your brothers and sisters, using that God-given wisdom for their encouragement. Do I not feel like I'm any wiser than I was a year ago, 10 years ago, yesterday? Then ask the Spirit to open your eyes. And further down, the laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. Have I not only accepted what God says is right and wrong and that he is fair in doing so, but do I find myself desiring, you know, or do I find myself desiring his law more than riches? Do I say, man, this is sweet when I come to reading about his laws and his fairness? And I've accused God of not being fair many times throughout my life. But when exposed before him, I have to say, he is just. Am I thankful when I'm cut to the quick? And when my secrets are uncovered? Do I know that great is the reward of the Holy Spirit living in me? Yet, this word is for us all, every one of us, in whatever category we're in. So we're going to read this last verse again and make it your prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Real quickly, a few points of application. We don't get an out. Everything around us speaks his name. And when you have done the good thing of coming into these walls, it's not the walls that have contained you in this thing called church. It's the time that God has set aside. It's the walls of time that he has constructed and called us here to spend a moment being exposed to his word. So whether in here or out there, we don't get an out. We can't escape from everything that is ministering his word to us, his goodness to us. And remember, God's given us two books. We can use this to, in our own lives, and strengthening one another. But we can also use it in our friends' lives who are non-believers. He's given us two books. We can ask them if they won't read this one. How about reading the one that's all around them all the time? You've heard me say, 93 million miles. You can marvel at that around them and cause them to take a moment and go, wow, I am very small. And that's a little bit of a draw. And as we look at these two books, stop. Consider for a moment. Quit clothing ourselves with the things that the world is throwing at us every day. Because we feel exposed, every one of us. We feel exposed and we want to put these things on. We want to put Facebook on. We want to put entertainment on. We want to put all these things on and shield us from all this exposure that we feel from the pain and the heartache and the suffering that is within us and around us. But read both books frequently. You got to stop to do that. You got to take a breath to do that. And when you've read them, consider for a minute. Pause. Keep going in the Psalms and you'll see this word, Selah. That means intermission or take a breath. It just means stop and ponder, consider. So I say to you, Selah, as you go outside. Or Selah. Is there a correct pronunciation? I don't know. I've heard both. But step outside and go, Selah. And look up. And pray for categorical change in your life. Pray for categorical change of the lives around you. I wish I had time to just keep going. Because I love this stuff. I love thinking about it. And I want to love God more when I walk out of here today than when I came in. And I want you to do the same. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us these two books. We pray for those who cannot understand either of them. So we pray for your Holy Spirit, the only one who can open their eyes to the truth contained in these books. Thank you that for those whose eyes are open, we have seen your word and learned about the redemptive truths that are found in and only in Jesus Christ. And for how then that throws us back to seeing clearly that first book, that other book, the book of nature. And how wonderful it is to marvel at your handiwork. Help us today join with the heavens in proclaiming your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to audio from Grace Community Church, located in North Carolina. Feel free to make copies of this audio content to share with others. But please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information about Grace Community Church, go to graceccnc.org.